After a while, I asked, "Who are you?"
"Echo," he said. "It's nice to finally meet you, Lydia."
Many things happened, more or less in sequence, immediately after that. There was the first explosion, and that also surprised me. You have to understand, surprise was not an experience I knew well until that point. Mostly, I already knew. Mostly, I had already seen. Not this. The bombs, improvised Molotov cocktails, weren't supposed to be lit for several more hours. I was supposed to light one. A good amount of chaos, running and screaming in the halls, ensued. Then a blow to my head, and darkness. I woke, later, elsewhere. I shouted several times from the pain in my head. No one came. I explored the room I had found myself in. It was blank, unrevealing, an infuriating beige nothing. There was no bed, no furniture. There was no discernible door. The walls were soft, pliant. I seemed to be in some kind of sophisticated cage. It blocked me from seeing out of the present moment. I could not think, could not question, I could not rationalize. I curled up on the floor and slept. When I next woke up, Echo was standing above me. He handed me pills, pain, and what I assumed was kite. I asked him many questions. He answered three. It was 13 August 2133, so 3 days had passed since the explosions at school. I was at a research lab called Insight, and he said, I had been brought there to liberate the future. This began the next phase of my life. Echo was my abductor, my captor, and later my torturer. He was also the only person I saw, spoke to. I did, in those early days, feel something like sorrow for him. He would always begin our sessions with a series of what-if questions. What if there were many, perhaps infinite, futures? What if there was a way to unlock time itself? What if we could move in time, not only see it stretched out, frozen before us? He called it running.
You will run time, Lydia, he told me, once you lose your fear.